Did you ever visit an inmate or get onto his story or her story or anything like that?
And yeah.
You did?
Yeah. When I started in corrections, interesting thing, I only thought the state had three prisons, Big Mac, Granite, and Mabel Bassett. And I knew they had a little Kate Bernard right next to the, no, Mabel Bassett was there. That was Mabel Bassett. But Cape Bernard was a community center. So that's all the prisons I thought they had. And then when I went to work for them and realized they had, what, 17, 18 prisons. At that time. And when I went to Illinois, they had over 40 prisons. And their prisons had been in existence way before Oklahoma was a state. Because they had Joliet and Statesville and all of those prisons that you see in the movies. So, yeah, it was an eye-opener. And I got a chance to interview some of the women at Mabel Bassett before I got into corrections. I interviewed some of the women. And when I interviewed, the women have been put in prison for killing their mate. That was domestic violence. We did a story about domestic violence. And those women had killed their mates because of domestic violence. And that was before they passed this bill that had something to do with the bill that protects people from being harassed by your domestic mate or whatever. Yeah. So I got a chance to interview some of the women and Mabel Bassett. And I had been out to the state prison. And that's why I knew about the death penalty thing, where we weren't allowed to interview anybody that was scheduled for the death penalty. But I interviewed a person that was at the state prison when I was in the news department. And that was because it was the kid that was involved with the steakhouse. The steakhouse murders was a big thing here in Oklahoma City. Yeah. And I interviewed that person.
Did you stay in touch with him?
No.
Okay.
No.
I didn't know if you followed any story. And
no, the only one that I kind of checked on all the time was the from the steakhouse. It was the female that was Roger Stafford's wife. She's still in prison, and she was Andy Coates, who was the prosecutor, spoke up to have her release because she was a victim as well, and never should have been put in prison. And she was, and she's still there all these years because the family's protests every time she comes up for parole.
I'd forgotten the name Roger Stafford.
And Roger Stafford was,
and he became infamous in our state because
for killing for the steakhouse killing.
He was involved in that. And why did his wife get implicated on that?
Because she was with him at the time. They were in the car together. His brother ended up getting killed on a motorcycle or something after the case. But Roger went to prison, and Roger was eventually executed.
Mm-hmm.
But it was his wife had several of the attorneys had spoke about the fact that she should be released on parole, and she had come up for parole. And now, even though she comes up, she doesn't come to any of the hearings. She just says she knows the family will protest, and so she's still there.
You may find this hard to believe. Of course, I was on radio in KRMG in Tulsa, and I was always fascinated with the prison system. And one day I called them, and I said, I'd like to interview somebody on death row. And they said yes. And so this is when you could walk right up to their cell.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you can't do that anymore.
No.
I could walk up to their cell.
Mm-hmm. And talk to them.
And the lady who probably had the position, mm-hmm. unit, she was walking me through. And I'm sure she said, there's Roger Stafford.
Uh-huh.
He's sitting way back there.
Uh-huh.
And he said he often yells at me every time I walk by.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've told this story hundreds of times. This is not my interview about me. It's about you. But I thought you'd relate to this. I walked up to this cell, and it was a short guy, and he had blonde hair and blue eyes. I said, why are you here? He says, well, I was traveling from California, came to Tulsa or someplace in Oklahoma, and they were after me, and I shot a trooper. And I never made it out of Oklahoma. And I always tell people, you can't tell what a murderer or is going to look like.
No.
Blonde, blue-eyed kid that you thought was sitting right next door to you. I've never forgotten that.
Yeah.
And so I interviewed a man, and he gave me, and he sat in front of me in shackles. That's how the media was treated back then. We could do that. They came in and the chains, and he was shackled, and he sat and talked to me.
And the security guy stood.
Right. And they let me talk to him. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, he said, I have a pet mouse in my cell. He says, they don't know about that. Huh. And I can't think of the man's name because that was so well known to me. And he had murdered family members over in Arkansas. And I put this on the air that he had talked to him. And they were offended that I put him on the air. And they probably had a right to. Mm-hmm. But that's the way I can still see him sitting in front of me back then. And so I came in 76. This could have been late 70s, early 80s that I went there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I interviewed the young man who was 18 to 20 years old, and he killed his parents.
Right. Yeah.
Sellers.
Yes. Yes.
Sellers.
Uh-huh.
And I interviewed him as well. But
then
it was changed.
Uh-huh.
You couldn't go back to their cells and see them where
they were. They put you in a room. You could talk to him through the glass.
Through the glass.
Yes.
Right. And
through
he
the glass.
Came in.
Yes.
And then he had artwork and he wanted to sell some artwork and so forth. So I guess I'd talk about my experience, how different it was where you could walk up to the death row cells.
Right. Well, at each of the prisons, when they took me on a tour, they took me through all the different areas. And that was the first time that I had walked down where all the death row inmates were. And there was a guy that had gone to Douglas High School. And he said, I saw you on television.
Hmm.
And I said, okay. They were kind of talking to each other, you know, through their bars.
Mm-hmm.
And it was scary for me, but I ended up talking to young people that was in prison at different facilities, and they would say, "Would you, if I wrote a letter to my mother, would you see that it gets to her? Because I've written letters and I don't think they mail them." And I said yes. And so my boss told me, Meacham told me, he said, now all the inmates think that all they have to do is when Joyce Jackson comes out to the prison, just give her their letters or give them. And I said, no, I'm not doing that much. I said, but some of them just felt like people weren't, they didn't pay them any attention. They were an object, not a person. And I would sit and talk with them sometimes, and I ran into one of my classmates. That kind of blew my mind. And I remember allowing some television station to interview one of the women that had killed or made a story once I was there for a story about that same thing that I had done a story on. And he said to me, there's some beautiful women in prison. I never thought good-looking people would. I said, so you think everybody that's in prison is ugly? I said, they're just your neighbors, your mother, your father, your sister, brother. So yeah, that kind of, because I thought when he left, I probably thought those same things when I started working for corrections.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot. So yes.
And I feel I should tell you one more story.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I got it into my head that these prisoners needed books.
Yeah.
And so on the air, I said, I want to collect books, your paperbacks and
yes.
books and all that kind of stuff. And
because all they had was donated books, but they were old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the community came out.
Yes.
And you wonder what the community thinks about them. No, they were very supportive of that. And I don't know how many boxes and boxes of books that we delivered to McAllister.
Right. And they started a library there, and they have a library there today, and they get newer books all the time. And so they have a librarian, usually it's one of the offenders that's a trustee that works in the, you know, to deliver books to the offenders because they're locked down at McAllister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be a public drive today.
Yes.
To collect books.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know what to do with their books and all that.
And, right.
Some schools will have books sales, but
right.
I haven't heard a public
call for
public
it.
Call.
Well, that, probably the reason they haven't called for it is because there are different organizations now that have taken on projects by okay. this prison, that prison, and they just did a story last night about a woman's organization that are now taking people, women or men, out of once they leave prison into cosmetology school, because that's, they can become their own bosses and make plenty of money. And different churches have adopted different prisons, and so they deliver books, hygiene articles to them, and so they take on that.
Well,
yeah.
Then that's being taken care of, right?